The title for my sermonette this afternoon is, What Do You Owe? Now, we all owe things in our life at some point or another. It's almost impossible to live in this world without a thing called a credit card. Now, some people do, and good for them, but the primary way for you to build credit is to have a credit card. In order to purchase things like a house or a car, something large, costs a lot of money, you need credit. They need to know that you are worth something. You know, the concept of owing means that we have to have something of value in the first place. A different way to think about this is by looking at the word owing. It literally means yet to be paid. It is based on events that are going to be paid in the future. And when you purchase things on a credit card, we are essentially saying that we are guaranteeing that we will pay this debt in the future when that time of payment comes. So I want to take a little bit of time and think about this from a Christian perspective. What is it that we owe as Christians? What is going to be paid in the future? What is it we are saying that we are going to be paying? You know, we've heard many times that this way of life comes down to two immutable things. And in Matthew chapter 22 and starting in verse 36 to 40, Christ tells us exactly what these two things are. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. It says, the disciples are asking Christ to say, Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? So they wanted to know, you know, what's the most important? And Jesus said, You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. Continuing, verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. So that is the most important thing. The second, he says in verse 39, is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So if we were to distill this way of life down, it really comes down to these two things: to love God and to love man. Everything Christ says hangs on these two things. If people were to live in accordance with these two laws, how many issues in this world would be solved? Nearly all of them, right? And so, contrasting these two points, I think you maybe see where I'm going. The point is that the first thing that we owe is God. We owe God our lives in so many ways. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, we'll read verse 5 to 11, Philippians chapter 2, and beginning in verse 5. We are told, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we're to be thinking how Christ was thinking here. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9, therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, as those in heaven and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Pretty straightforward, Christ humbled himself. So he came, he took on the form of a human being, he lived as a man because he was a man in this instance, and while doing so, he remained sinless. You know, we who are called have an understanding of what was truly done and the price that was paid. And so we owe our lives to live in a certain way with and because of this understanding. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 23, it says, "You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men." So first and foremost, we owe everything to God and to Christ. And this debt that we owe is really, if you think about it, it's unpayable. But yet we do everything in our power to live up to this gift. You know, there's a dichotomy here. We live in this world, and we are responsible for how we live. And this is really where the second point comes in. We have contact with people in this world. We have family and friends in this world. And yet in all of this, we are not to be conformed or conform ourselves to how this world acts. Rather, we are to be the ones setting the light, setting the example for everyone else to see. And so this means that we have to be studying how we live in this world, figuring out how to put God first in all of our actions, in all of our ways. And yet we also have to be learning how to show love and kindness and respect to people. Turning to Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, we see Paul talking about this second point that Christ made. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affliction and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind." And of course, he's talking about within the church. In verse 3, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Fulfilling that law of love. And then turning to Romans chapter 13 and verse 8 to 10. Romans 13 and verse 8. It says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." Now these scriptures show that we owe a lot. Your time and attention has to be put into all these areas in our lives to make sure that we are living in accordance with God's laws. Now, there is also a warning for us. You know, we must grasp the fact that God owes us nothing, absolutely zero. Yet we owe him everything, from life itself to the air we breathe, to the food that we have each day, the shelter that we have, the knowledge that we have of him, the knowledge that we have of his purpose and the purpose for this way of life. everything is given by God. And yet, like Job, we can have all these things and we can have all these blessings and come to the point where we can lose sight of that God is the one that gives us all these things. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, For by the grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And that is the very key. Walking in faith. Being mindful that these good works are in our everyday lives, those opportunities, all those little times that we have to be Christian-like are there in our lives. It's not always the big, mighty things. It's rather the small, daily stepping stones that we walk through. And Paul tells us time and again that we can do this if we have our minds set on this way. And it's not like it's an impossible task for us to do it. In Romans 12 and verse 1, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's what you owe to God. It's what you owe to your fellow man. Is to do these things consistently, without failing. Christ says something interesting in this regard, and I'd like to close with his thoughts. Turning to Luke 17 and beginning in verse 5. Luke 17 and verse 5, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. That's quite a request. And so the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come into the field, come at once and sit down and eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did the things which were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all these things which you were commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what it is our duty to do. Christ is saying that we are the servants of God. We owe it to God to do our duty, what is laid out for us in the Bible, to be Christians. It's what we have been called to do. We can only increase our faith if we are doing what is supposed to be done. It's when we are doing our duty, increasing our faith, and allowing God and the Father to live and work through us, that we are working towards our greatest purpose, the greatest purpose in the universe, the one that we are called for, to become God beings, to help other people to become God beings. Brethren, this is our duty. It's not glamorous. It's not fun sometimes. And it takes an enormous amount of effort. But God promises that if we do what we owe to him and to our fellow beings, that it will be worth our time. It will be worth our effort. But you have to put that effort and that work in.